This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Joining us in studio today, State Highways Deputy Director Ed Sniffen, and by phone, Tom Yamachika, President of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii. Welcome to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Now, Tom, I know you can't join us for the entire hour, but we appreciate you carving out time for this very important subject.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, today we're talking about something called the road usage charge. In some places, it's called the vehicle mileage tax. And some think it's just another way for government to take more of your money. And those who have the longest commutes are kind of worried that this will cost them dearly. Ed, you've got a number. You've just completed a whole round of meetings across the state, and you've got some happening this week.
Definitely. So we have 14 meetings set up to start steering this study. And this study is going to be done over a three-year period. Important for us to get the community feedback now to ensure that we start guiding the study towards the concerns or the questions that the community has. During those first 10 meetings or 11 meetings that we've had, we got a lot of great feedback. We have one more tonight at Castle High School. We have one more tomorrow night. That's going to be an online statewide town hall, e-town hall. Then we have one more in May, on May 9th, on the Hilo side. And that'll tie up our community meeting circuit. But that doesn't tie up the feedback time frame. We have a website that has an email that's hot all the time and phones that are hot all the time. So if anybody wants to feed in at any time, we absolutely welcome the feedback.
Okay, and this town hall meeting tomorrow, that's something new you folks are trying.
Absolutely. We know that everybody's busy. And the last thing you want to do after you finish up with work is go to another meeting. So okay. We want to try and give everybody a different venue, one that we could go live online. So if you're available, you can feed in your comments and your questions. But if you're not available at that time, you can always revisit the conversation that we had.
Okay. And so the bottom line is the reason why we're even considering this is because?
So, and this is the biggest question. Three questions that always come up at the meetings. First, why are we even considering this? Second, how is this going to affect me? And the last is, how does this affect the state's policies towards clean energy? So the first one, in general, when we start looking at the revenue sources that we have coming into our system, the state fuel tax is one of the big ones. It's 16 cents on every gallon of gas that everyone purchases here. And it equals out to about $83 million per year that comes into the highway fund. In general, that funding amount or that revenue amount is diminishing. So we gotta look at the needs of the public, what the public is asking for from us, and the funding that we have available to see how we fulfill it. And we know that as cars get more fuel efficient, that funding source will go down. Now, if the demands are the same or go up and the costs of doing business go up, we got to find out how we fill that differential. So that's one of the discussions that we're having, why we need this to consider this new way of collecting. But the second and more important for me is the equality or the equity across the system. My family owns hybrids and an electric vehicle. At this time, we're not paying our fair share of the miles that we travel on the system. So a comparable vehicle that drives the same distances, that gets 22 miles per gallon or less for fuel efficiency, will pay more for the same mileage that we're driving every day. To me, that's just not a fair or equitable approach to how we collect our revenues. It should be based on what you use, a true user fee. So that's really the reason we're looking at this. When we look at this and we see that the revenue sources, if the demands are the same and the revenue sources must increase over time, we'd like to try and see how we address this issue now.
Okay, and Tom, chime in here. I mean, you're the tax expert. What do you think about all this?
Well, I guess one of the things that we need to keep in mind is the way we tax gasoline right now, you know, when you go up to the pump and you pay at the pump, The system that we have now is kind of screwed up, and let me tell you why. There are, you know, five or six different taxes that are applied to liquid fuel. There's a federal tax. There's a state component of the gas tax. There's a county component of the gas tax. There's what we call the barrel tax, and then there is, of course, our normal general excise tax, which hits everything. Now, one of the things that is fed by this fuel tax is the state highway fund, but that's only a part of it. The state component of the gas tax goes to the highway fund and funds the Department of Transportation so they can fix roads and bridges and that kind of good stuff. There is the barrel tax that funds entirely different things at the Department of Health and the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And then, of course, you have the feds taking their share. You have the counties taking their share. And then, of course, the GE goes into the general fund, which is supposed to fund everything that is in our state government. So when you're talking about the declination of revenue, it's kind of the same thing, same kind of phenomenon that's happening to like tobacco tax, liquor tax.
Everything's going down.
Yeah, because those taxes are there. We call them sin taxes, because the taxes are in part designed to reduce dependence or reduce demand for that particular product. So you want to discourage use of alcohol, you tax the alcohol. You want to discourage use of tobacco, you tax the tobacco. And that's what we've been doing. But at the same time, our government has said, oh, well, what do we do with this tobacco money? Well, let's fund our cancer research center. Let's fund some other anti-smoking programs and so forth. And lo and behold, they find out that the tax is starting to work, or the programs are starting to work, or the research is starting to work, and the demand's going down. And they go, oh, my God, our funding is drying up. Well, of course it is. That's what you wanted. And that's, part of what's happening with the gas tax. We are trying to encourage our population to go off of traditional gas-powered vehicles like Mr. Sniffen has already done. And it's working. So the policy question then that has to be, looked at then is, is this what we want? Do we want people to go to more fuel efficient vehicles? And if so, do we really want to start rejiggering the system so that they get penalized? At least that's what some people are saying.
And I'm not sure if you were able to attend any of the community meetings, but Ed, you were saying that a quick takeaway was that a lot of folks didn't really understand what they were paying for at the pump.
Mm-hmm. When we started talking to people about this per-mile travel tax or road usage charge, many of them thought it was a new tax that was coming in, something that they weren't paying for before, but they'd have to start paying for now. So in some areas, we have to clarify that you're already paying for a fuel charge already that comes to the state highway fund. In other areas, we have to clarify that should we go towards this road usage charge, you won't have a state fuel tax and a road usage charge at the same time. It'll be one or the other.
It will place it.
Exactly. And to Tom's point, that's been a discussion point as well. Those that have been converting to hybrids or EVs, I've been asking, so now you're disincentivizing us and incentivizing somebody with an older car. And in general, that may be true in some cases. But in general, it's a very, for me, as a person who bought hybrids and EV, it's a very small component to what I was looking at when I purchased the vehicle. But also, when you look at it in totality, if we want to create a sin tax, we should call it that. The fuel tax was never created as a sin tax. When all the cars were the same platform in the beginning, it was a true road usage charge. Everybody burned the same amount of fuel. When you drive the same mileage, you'll pay the same amount. It went away from that as soon as we started getting the second engine, then the third, then the fourth, then all the different types of models that get us off our equality or our equity on the system. So for highways, the reason for pushing this is to make sure we get back to that equity. But if the policy decisions are that we should push towards this 2045 goal, and we want to create a separate tax as a sin tax, then we should call it that. We should be transparent about it.
Okay. Now, we also reached out to the Blue Planet Foundation and the Automobile Dealers Association for their thoughts about getting away from the gas tax and changing to something different. Here's the Blue Planet's Lauren Reichelt.
Well, on the advisory committee, they've told us some of the feedback they've been getting at their community meetings. And one of the things that continuously came up in a lot of the meetings was a concern about environmental impact because of the disincentivizing of fuel-efficient vehicles. And it feels like a penalty towards electric vehicles. And sometimes there's a miscommunication about where the budget deficit is coming from for road maintenance. And EVs aren't even at 1% at this stage of the total vehicle stock in the state. Right now, there's about 9,000 electric vehicles in Hawaii. If a car typically pays like $80 in gas tax, in-state gas tax annually, that's only about $720,000, which in the whole scheme of things is minimal at best. So just being sure that there's no misrepresentation of the problem, cars are getting more fuel efficient in general, but it's not, you know, this handful of EVs on the road that's causing the problem. And we don't think that they should be unfairly burdened by, and in this early stage of adoption, if the state wants to be moving towards 100% clean transportation, it's really counterintuitive to then implement something that penalizes EVs more than a truck that gets less than 22 miles per gallon.
Now, Tom, you're on that same advisory committee with the Blue Planet Foundation. So what are your thoughts on that?
That is one of the concerns. There were a number of concerns expressed by the committee as well as the public. There is a lot of distrust over this system because they don't know about it, and I think that's a kind of common reaction for people who aren't used to a new tax system. There's an understandable reluctance and an understandable fear because they don't know what's going on, and so I think that's why these public meetings are being conducted to at least educate folks on what is being proposed, why it's being proposed, and the rationales behind it.
Ed, you want to chime in here?
Absolutely. So during the advisory group meeting, we're able to kind of pull back, talk about the comments that we get, and get the feedback from this group of really respected experts. And Tom's insight into a lot of things really helps. The discussion point that Tom and I had during the advisory meeting is there's concern on how DOT or the state, whatever department may run it, would actually track the mileage, would actually enforce the collections, because the gas tax system is a very elegant one. I just wait for my check from DOTAX, they send it to me, and I collect it. This would require quite a bit of work to set up a system to do so. And Tom and I were discussing, there's going to be a point where we got to consider, do the economics of setting up that system really pan out if the collections are reduced based on what we need to expend?
So those, Ed, you don't run a tax agency. That's the problem. Never collected tax before.
That's exactly.
And that must be a frightening, frightening prospect for you.
No, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right. But the only reason we're looking at this is because we want to make sure there's an equity in that system. So there's different ways that we're considering how to run it easiest. But we're not going to presuppose anything right now. We wanted to make sure we heard from the community, heard the concerns, heard the comments, and heard the feedback so we can start guiding this study towards addressing those concerns or finding out, are they real? Are they something that we can get over or not?
Okay. Well, the Hawaii Automotive Dealers Association hasn't taken a position on, what it refers to as the vehicle mileage tax. Here's what Dave Rolfe had to say this morning.
Well, it has enormous potential because if you see that taxes are used for increasing lane miles, for landscaping, for, of course, maintenance and filling potholes and all the things that taxes do to make roadways smoother and faster and easier to operate on, that tax they're talking about, it would replace weight tax, it would replace the 16-cent gas taxes, it would replace all the taxes they're talking about in one fell swoop, easily connected, they are talking about through the safety check. It's actually called the vehicle inspection check now because that's when your miles are recorded. Now, there's all sorts of issues, and that's why that big town hall meeting that I guess they're going to have online tomorrow night is just a great opportunity for everybody to log in. I mean, the idea is to make something real simple. If tax is simple, we all know the tax can be used for good to make things happen, like improved roadways and faster movement and smoother flow, that would be a good thing. And the, although the dealers haven't taken a position on the whole thing yet, this could be a good thing if everybody can understand how it would be used.
Well, if you're just joining the conversation, we're talking about the proposed road usage charge. What's your take on this new idea? Join the discussion by calling us at 941-3689 or 1-877-941-3689 from the Neighbor Islands. So what do you think about what Dave had to say?
No, I think he's right. Rightfully so. There should be an optimism towards looking towards this alternative way to collect, but also some healthy skepticism. And I'm happy to hear that the industry is looking at things exactly the way the community is.
Right, so it can be a simpler way of getting taxed and maybe cheaper, faster, more efficient. Of course, you won't get your one single check like you do now. It'll be more complicated for you.
Yeah, it's not going to be as efficient. Mm-hmm. We know that. I mean, right now, as Ed said, you know, he's got the best of all possible worlds. The tax is collected by the fuel distributors and or the dealerships, you know, and he doesn't have to deal with, you know, every single person in a vehicle.
Right.
So once you do that, and you have to deal with all these, you know, all these throngs of angry motorists, then administrative costs would go up dramatically. From I think you have an administrative cost of about maybe 2% now, and it would go up to what, 10%? Is that
there.
How it works?
I think we're looking at right now between 1-2% as our administrative cost, and could be between 5-10%.
Okay, we do have our first call coming in. Nandita from Kaneohe, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling because I find this discussion about equity in regards to the road usage tax to be a bit of a con job, honestly, because there's no equity in user fees. You know, user fees are by definition a regressive way of collecting tax. You know, I have no problem paying tax, but I would like to have a progressive tax system, not one that charges people the same amount of money regardless of their income. I would rather than a road usage tax, pay a higher state income tax, for example. And that, to me, would be the most efficient, the most progressive, and the most, you know, cost-effective way for the state to raise revenue.
Yeah, and let me just add on to that. I think the Department of Transportation's mentality for some time has been, you know, we pay for our own selves, so they are kind of fixated on the idea of levying usage charges that pay for their own operations, and they're not the only department that does that. DCCA does that, but in order for any kind of progressivity to go into this, it's got to be basically done off the income tax system, because that's the only progressive tax we've got, and that would require allowing a Department of Transportation to get funded by, you know, general fund money, which is where the income tax goes to.
And Ed?
I would be supportive of getting general fund into the highway funding. Right now, the edict that we're working off of is that our special fund is funded specifically by our five main revenue sources, which is what we're trying to look at. Now, if the discussion changed that we could get funded by general fund, I would be absolutely for that.
Okay. We have another call coming in from the Big Island. James from Waimea.
Hey, how are you guys? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I attended the meeting that happened in Waimea last week, hosted by, I forgot the acronym. You guys know what the acronym of that organization is with the Department of Transportation, UTREC or something?
I think it was HIRUC.
HIRUC. Oh, yeah. What does that mean? Not HDOT?
And there were Porsche owners and big gas-guzzling 4x4 truck owners that were all upset about this, and I was kind of like, why are these guys upset? They're not going to have to pay gas tax anymore. And there were a few hybrid owners and a few electric vehicle car owners that were kind of like, why are we going to have to pay this? But after the meeting, I went on the website that you guys had for HIRUC, and it had the number 2 question about, you know, what's the solution here? keep the way we're doing it with the gas tax. Number two, just go on usage basis. And the third choice was some variation or a combination of the two. And it seemed to me that, yeah, that's the obvious answer. It's a combination of those two. And it seems that it's not that complex. Every year we go for a safety check and they take down your mileage. Well, what kind of car are you driving? What's the governor's weight of that vehicle? And how many miles did you drive? So if you're not using gasoline, but we need to tax these folks, we don't want to penalize them. Someone was talking about it, like comparing it to a sin tax. I think you could take it even further. The real goal is to get people not to drive as much, no matter what kind of vehicle they're in. Don't drive so much. So that's it. Just use a combination of the two. The idea that we need a two-year study to exclusively find a way to only use a usage tax seems kind of silly, doesn't it?
You know, James, I mean, you live on the Big Island. You have to drive far if you want to go to Hilo, right?
For that movie Repo Man, the more you drive, the dumber you get. You know, I don't like to drive, but sometimes you have to. And that's why you'd use an electric vehicle or a hybrid.
Okay. All right. Thanks for that. You know, and Ed, you were here on this show, I think last month, right? We were talking about the same issue. Stanton Lum from McKeeke wrote this in. He said, how about using the gross vehicle weight multiplied by the miles driven to be our road usage tax?
Absolutely.
He says he has a small gas car, a Honda Fit, and he's sure that it causes less road maintenance than a large, heavy electric or plug-in hybrid like a Tesla SUV.
So to discuss both the comments at the same time, that's what this study is for, to look at the alternatives throughout the system. And the study is not just to look at how we address the public, how we track things with the public, and what the public's feedback is on it. We also have to look at our own systems to see how we set ourselves up to start collecting or enforcing or tracking, because the internal infrastructure for us to run a program like that is not there. So part of the three-year pilot is, or three-year study, is to ensure that we get the public feedback first. We run a fake bill for everybody based on the mileage that we see on the inspection reports to let you know this is your comparable, what you would have paid on a road usage charge, and you can compare it to the gas that you spent on last year. But then we have a 2,000 car or 2,000 person pilot that we're going to run to see how we actually would implement it. That's what this study is for. Then I'm definitely looking at different alternatives on how that would potentially go. Some alternatives have been track everybody with some kind of tracking system in their car, or track everybody just at the inspections, or have everybody pay the fuel tax. But when we get the inspection reports, we give you a rebate if we're supposed to pay you more, or you're not supposed to pay as much as you did. You know, things like that. There's different discussions that came from different communities, like we just heard over the air. So all of that's open for the discussions. The complexity of all of this, to add to it, as Tom had said, the fuel tax that you get, that you pay at the pump right now, is not just the state portion. So later on, when you're driving, how do I know if you're already paying the county's fuel tax? I've got to know where you've been, on which state route, so that if you're on a county route, I don't charge you for that. So there's a lot of complexities in there that we got to figure out as we go forward.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking, Chihuahua, that's going to be a mess.
Yeah, I mean, at least if it's simpler here than in mainland states, because, you know, on the mainland, going from one state to another is relatively easy. Over here, it's kind of difficult because you got to have water wings to do it.
Absolutely. So the directors of other states who are looking towards this, like Oregon, Washington, and California, envy us because we're restricted. Our borders are restricted. We know that we capture anybody in our state. They've been driving only on our state roads. And they also know that we have our inspection program where there's a second check or a first check or the only check that we can use for people to pay. But again, another complexity comes in. Right now, when you pay your fuel tax, you pay it in small increments over time. If we just do the inspection one time a year, do I charge you just one time? Or do we break it up over several months? Those are all the things that we're looking at as we go forward.
Okay, well, this is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio, in studio with State Highways Administrator, Deputy Director Ed Sniffen, and by phone, Tom Yamachika, President of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii. And you can join the discussion, too, by calling 1-877-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after a break.
Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Blue Hawaiian Helicopters, with tours on Kauai, Maui, the Big Island, and Oahu, celebrating two decades of support for Hawaii Public Radio. BlueHawaiian.com.
Hi, my name is Martha Saruji, and I am the Director of Marketing at Blue Note Hawaii, and we are proud underwriters of Hawaii Public Radio. We wanted to reach a wide variety of people, and it was a good fit because Hawaii Public Radio has such a big variety of programming, you know, from Morning Edition and All Things Considered and The Conversation and Evening Jazz, which is a good fit for a jazz club. As a marketer, it was a no-brainer.
Hawaii Public Radio Underwriting. Your message heard here.
Two farmers on the Mississippi.
Isn't it gorgeous?
When I was growing up, we had 320 acres.
Faced the same problem, devastating floods. But one farmer's salvation
keeps the water out.
is the other's demise.
That's just not fair.
Flood Thy Neighbor on the next Reveal.
This evening at 7. Support for Hawaii Public Radio comes from Highway Inn Hawaiian Food in Kaka'ako, Waipahu, and Bishop Museum, with combo plates featuring lau lau, beef stew, or kalua pig. Menus at myhighwayinn.com.
Tom, is there anything you want to add based on the comments we got from the caller and the email?
Well, there's another issue that I kind of wanted to get into, and that is, you know, we're talking a lot about the collection of this new tax and the sort of the so-called front-end processes. But I think there is still an issue to be addressed about, you know, does the public have confidence in the Department of Transportation's ability to efficiently spend the money that they do collect?
Okay, Ed. Trust.
No, definitely. And during the meetings, we hear that from the community. Why do you need more money? Use what you got already. They bring up discussions about HART and what they hear in the media and everything. And what I take from that, when I hear that, there's no need to respond to it to say, well, these are all the great things we're doing. I'm hearing that the public is feeling there's a lack of transparency. So we've been putting more information online on how we do our business. We put more information online on how we make our decisions on the projects that we push out, how we've improved the efficiencies through the department. In 2010, there was a $1 billion pipeline of federal funds that weren't expended. We're down to $438 million now. So over that past 8 years, we've expended out over $600 million of that funding to ensure that we get down to a point where the Federal Highways trust where we put it. And they've trusted us because they gave us an additional $41 million in 2016, an additional $25 million in 2017. They gave us $77 million for the Kuio Highway work, another $25 million for the Big Island work. So they know we're a good bet. When they give us the money, we put it out there to make sure that it gets expended.
At the same time, you know, there are things that are coming out, and to be fair, it's about other divisions within the Department of Transportation. The state auditor, for example, came out with report number 19-05 that says, hey, you know, we took a look at the accounts within the Department of Transportation, and we found batches of money that have been squirreled away and haven't been touched for 5 years. And it's $120 million. Again, most of that was in airports. A big chunk was in harbors. Very little, if any, was in highways. Mm-hmm. But there's still, you know, the fact that the report came out. I think, you know, there are concerns in people's mind about what is our state doing with the money that is being collected from us?
Right. I recall after that first meeting, I think out in Kapolei, there was a concern about, you know, you want this money to fix the roads. Why don't you fix the roads now?
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. So when we start looking at the auditor's report, as Tom had mentioned, there's significant accounts or monies in airports and harbors that are in accounts that haven't been touched. For both of them, they need to have a rainy day fund that's necessary for them to reconstruct their facilities in a short amount of time should any situation occur that requires it. For us in that report, there were four accounts that equaled out to about $44,000 of funding, and three of those have been closed out since, and one of them is going to be closed out soon. So for us, and as Tom had alluded to previously, each of the divisions have to be self-supporting, and each of the divisions collect monies on their own operations that some statutorily can't be used in others. So for instance, for airports, when they collect their landing fees from the airlines, federal government requires that it be put into airports. Otherwise, they get hit with a diversion of funds.
Right, that's a no-no.
Yeah, so in reality, we can't use any of the funding that the other divisions have. We got to be self-supporting. So all we can do is make sure that we manage our operations the best that we can, and then show the public how we do it. So as I mentioned, we have more of our information online to show the public what we actually do and what conditions are in. Then by June of this year, we're going to be putting online the revenues that come into highways, how we track them, and what they were used for over the past several years. So everybody can see the flow in and the flow out.
And I know the concern about fixing the roads now, we had you on and you talked about the things that you're going to be trying, right? A new formula for the asphalt mix in hopes that the roads will last longer, the highways will last longer.
Absolutely. So the big areas that that we hear a lot from the community, H1 is horrible. That's being repaired already. Poly Highway was in really bad shape. That's going to be reconstructed by the end of the year. Nimitz Highway is in poor condition. That starts up in August of this year. So all of the areas that we see a high need for reconstruction to ensure the public's confidence, all in motion.
Okay, you're working on it. Okay, we have another call coming in. Michelle from Kaneohe.
Yes, hello.
Hi, what's on your mind?
Okay, well, a couple of things. Number one, my late husband used to be a field rep for a dental supply company here, and his company did not reimburse him for gas usage, so we bought a Prius for, you know, gas efficiency. He was on the road all day, pretty much every day, with the car being his mobile office. So, you know, I'm thinking, well, my God, he didn't get reimbursed for the gasoline. The Prius was an expensive car. I'll never own another one. Lithium-ion battery is abysmally expensive if you have to replace it under your own dime. They are basically an environmental nightmare to boot. And another thing is, I work for one of the major car rental companies, and how would this new tax go about collecting funds on rent-a-cars? I'm curious about that as well.
Oh,
anyway, that's... That's enough out of me, and I'm eager to listen to you folks. Have a great day.
All right,
bye
thank
now.
You. Thank you for that. Good question.
Definitely. As I said before, the platform on this study is to have everybody pay for the mileage that they travel. So in general, if you drive more, you'll pay more. But we're trying to get everybody on the same platforms so that everybody is being charged the same cost per mile as everyone else. That's the goal. So definitely, if people drive more mileage, they're going to have to pay more at the end. But overall perspective, it's equal to the impacts that we have on our roadways. So that's the first portion. The second portion for rental cars, every registered car would be treated the same, whether it's a rental car fleet, whether it's a personally owned. It won't matter, but how we treat that is going to be coming through on the study. Now, everyone should keep in mind as well, when we started looking at this approach, we took in information from California and Oregon, who are way ahead of us, who have said, understand, when you go down this path, if you are to implement it, it's a minimum of 10 years. So the discussion points start now, and this is starting the discussions now, so it's a lot easier in the future, whether we institute this or not. So this is kind of setting the path forward, and that path is not set.
Okay, there's a big education process, I guess, or component that has to get in place first.
Yeah, and not only that, but that kind of presupposes that's the policy direction that the legislature wants to go into. There's also a lot of discussion that started happening, well, not this year, but this session. There was a bill that would have imposed a carbon tax. That's another means of looking at, okay, well, what do vehicles do? But instead of measuring it as a road usage charge, it measures as, okay, how much damage did this fuel burning do to the environment, and here's what we're going to do about it. You got to pay for that. So the discussions at the big square building are going in a couple of different policy directions, and that I think is going to have to be dealt with sooner or later as well.
And then your thoughts on the rental car fee, or how that's all going to be worked out?
Well, whoever owns the car is going to have to pay the charge.
Okay. All right. We did get a couple of emails. Tyler wrote in, I believe the tax should be the weight of the vehicles. For instance, I work in Kaka'ako, and the roads are so terrible because of all the construction. He also rides a motorcycle half the time, with his car. So he says, why should I pay more on gas tax on my motorcycle since its weight is like 400 pounds compared to a truck that's multi-tonnage that's tearing up the roads? We also have another one, Paul, on the gas tax. He says, quite a conversation. If you pay per gallon, you're paying a little at a time. If you pay once a year for mileage, it'd be a burden. And the point behind hybrid and EV is to help the environment and save money. The cost of a hybrid and EV is more than a traditional gas engine, as one of the callers pointed out. I guess to get folks to use less fuel, he thinks an additional 2 to 5 cents per gallon would be fair.
Well, one of the things to remember is that we already have a vehicle weight tax, and that's one of the charges that appears on your registration statement when you have to, when you get the bill every year and you got to pay that. And that does I think help the highway fund a little bit, but also is shared with the counties, right?
That's correct. Yeah. Absolutely correct. And there's discussions on how we would charge it, whether it's combining with vehicle miles traveled and weight. Those are all parts of the discussion as well. There's other states who are moving in those directions. And the comments that came in is going to push the study to considering those as well.
Now, I know the Blue Planet didn't really want an additional charge, on top of everything else. And I think this session you folks went in with some bills to kind of raise the weight tax and all of that, but I don't know how's that going there.
So over the past 4 years, we went in with bills to increase the revenues. When we hear that from the community, they say the roads are in poor conditions, fix them. We also hear they're dangerous because people are dying, and we also hear I'm stuck in traffic a lot of the times. So to us, we're hearing preservation is a big thing. Safety on the road is huge, and capacity, adding more lanes, is a big thing. We don't have enough money for that. We're funded for just a third of what the public is asking us for. So during the legislative sessions, we're asking legislators to consider increasing the revenues into highways for us to fulfill what the community is asking for. Now, if we don't get it, it's not like I'm going to say I'm not going to do my job. They're just boundaries by which I can do it. For right now, the funding that we have is sufficient for me to increase the level of maintenance of the system tremendously, to preserve the roads that we have, to make them operate better. We can also make them safer. We can also look at small improvements to add capacity in different areas as a short-term or short-fuse type project. But we don't have the funding to build out new capacity. So that's the boundaries by which I can operate in to fulfill the public's needs.
Right, so you're asking for that increase while we deal with this other thing on the side.
Yeah, and told the legislature, I think, a couple of years ago that, without any significant increase in the taxes that fund the highway fund, namely the vehicle I mean, the vehicle weight tax, the registration fee, and the fuel tax. Basically, he's going to put a kibosh on any significant highway expansion for the next 20 years. Is that still true?
Yes. So the good thing is the legislature started looking at additional types of revenues that come in. Last session, they approved a $2 surcharge on rental cars. That had to be readjusted this year to ensure that that it can move forward. So that's a great start to it, to adding that additional monies for capacity.
And Tom, I know you probably have to go to your next meeting. Any final thoughts? That you want to underscore at this point?
Well, again, I think incumbent upon both government and us as organizations to try to educate the public. To get information about this road usage charge and, the variations thereof, to the public so they can start thinking about them and giving their legislators feedback, because ultimately the decision is going to be made by the legislature and our elected officials. And we want to make sure that those decisions are not made in a vacuum and that, there's at least informed judgment going on.
Right, and that's why you're on that committee. Thanks so much, Tom. We really appreciate your time this morning.
Okay, thank you so
much. Thanks, Tom. Good to talk to you.
Bye-bye.
We have, I think, a couple more calls. Vicki, are you still on the line? Vicki from Kaneohe?
Yes. This is Vicki from Kaneohe.
Yes.
And at the time that I called, I had not heard the word truck mentioned. I've heard it once since then, and if you're looking at equity, then everybody pays the same per mile is probably farther from equity than we have now, because right now trucks are paying a lot more because they have they use more fuel. But with a per mile, they wouldn't be paying the share that they ought to, given the wear that they put on roads. And one other quick point on that, trucks are business vehicles. So the business has a higher cost, but so does everybody else in that business. Cars are owned by individuals, and then it's a family cost. So it seems to me you want more of the burden on business and less on individuals. Thank you.
Thanks so much. We also got a couple people who couldn't stay on the line. Juliet from Honolulu also asked, what about the people who drive all day long and have to use, their own vehicles for work?
Yeah, so the discussion about the trucks, as Tom had said, there's already a weight tax that we charge for vehicles. So people are assessed the tax based on the weight of the vehicles that they have.
So they're already paying it.
They're paying it. But also, there's been discussions about increasing those charges to business trucks because of the wear on the roads. And some of the conversations around that has been positive and negative. Some are saying that businesses can handle it better than communities can. But others are saying if the businesses absorb those costs, they're going to be passed down to the community anyway. So those are the discussions those are the things that we need to consider as we go forward.
Okay, we do have another call. Andrew from Haleiwa.
Hi.
Hi there.
Andrew from Haleiwa. Yeah, I think I just wanted to piggyback on the first woman who commented, and she's absolutely right. I think she nailed the bottom line in that you're trying to generate money, through taxes, and then here's another way to do it. And you referenced things about like equity, and then also this study, and it just seems like the rail went through a study, and eventually, maybe 50 years from now, the rail is going to work, but it's currently the tail is wagging the dog with that. And so is this just going to be another tail wagging the dog type of thing, and you guys are going to do what you want? Because, I live all the way out in Haleiwa, and everybody who lives on this island, we can see that it's going to be a recessive tax on the poor. I mean, the people in Waianae, people where I live on North Shore, we have to commute all the way into town. The people who can afford to live in town, they're not going to be driving as much, I know you're going through the protocols and trying to get this out to the public, but it just the whole thing in which I believe it was Tom mentioned, it's just the whole trust issue. I mean, just look at the rail. And that's pretty much all I have to say about that.
Okay,
and
thank
appreciate
you.
The comment and understand like I said before, this would not be my preference. It would be very difficult for the DOT to set up a system and infrastructure internally to support a tax like this. It's much easier for DOT to wait for the check from Department of Tax that comes from fuel tax.
Right, the status quo.
Definitely. So the difficulty that that I see in setting it up, I mean, it's much easier for us to just keep asking for increases in the gas tax. But as you alluded to, or as the caller talked about, those that are driving farther distances will be charged more because they drive more miles, definitely. But in general, what we're finding is those that live in rural areas have less fuel-efficient vehicles in general. So right now, those that are in rural areas that have less fuel-efficient vehicles that get less than 22 miles per gallon are paying more than others that have higher fuel efficiency. So in general, the road user tax, that's now the gas tax right now, is being paid more by those members than others.
We did have a couple of folks who couldn't stay on the line. Jan from Waimea said that she's against this tax. She says people who commute every day will be penalized, and EV cars are going to be penalized. People with big trucks who travel a lot less distance, and she says they're the big gas guzzlers. Also, Jane from Mililani, she's curious if safety check mileage tax would work. It would disincentivize people from getting their safety check. And there are many cars already on the road that are not up to date and get away with it.
Absolutely. So when we start looking at the system, we start seeing how we can incentivize more to stay in the enforcement portion, right? There's already some that we know are not getting their registrations. So we're trying to see how we can capture them in there. So if for instance, we went to a system where we still pay the fuel tax, but we get reimbursements, if we don't hit the levels that we're supposed to pay, or we pay more than we should, then maybe it may incentivize more people to get their registration to go through. Right? So those are all considerations at this time.
Okay, and I know that we've got these meetings coming up. Maybe you want to talk again about where those meetings are and how people can participate?
Absolutely. So tonight we have a meeting at 5:30 at Castle High School on the Windward side to get feedback from the community there. Tomorrow night, we start up at 5:30 on an e-town hall. So to get more details about the meetings, you can go onto our website, highruck.org, to get information about the meeting itself and the presentation materials. We also have the questions and answers from previous meetings on that website as well. Then we have one more on May 9th in Hilo to wrap up the town hall circuit. But again, we want to make sure that we engage the public early through these meetings, but also often to ensure that we allow or we have input areas throughout. We have email accounts, phone numbers, and we're inviting our representatives in the state, House and Senate, to bring in more information as well from their constituencies.
Right, because I know a number of legislators and folks have actually put out press releases because they're concerned about what they're hearing from their constituents. And you mentioned HIRUC. What does that stand for again?
It's Hawaii Road Usage Charge.
Okay. All right. And then you mentioned that you're looking for volunteers. I thought it was just a couple hundred. It's really 2,000, you said.
2,000. Yeah, we're looking at 2,000 person study so we can run through a system where we have people paying their per mile travel and we collecting it that way.
And so how do people sign up? Are you at that stage yet or what?
Absolutely. So through the website, it can request to be part of the study at the meetings or call in. We're taking the names down for anybody who wants to be a part of it.
Okay. Anything else? So we have about a minute or so left. Any final message you want to underscore?
Definitely. So the big thing for the DOT, again, we know that nothing is going to be implemented. Even if the public was 100% behind the road usage charge, nothing will be implemented in the next several years. What we can do, though, when we hear the feedback from the community about trust in government, about concerns about operations, about the improvements that we're putting down, those are things we can fix now. Those are the things that we can respond to right now to make sure that we get more information out, that we can get more improvements in the ground where the public is asking for it. So that's the big push for DOT now. Definitely setting up things for the future is great, but making sure we can implement now is important.
Okay, and then again, the participation for the online town hall meeting tomorrow, you wanna hear from everybody across the state.
Absolutely. So the presentation is going to be a short 10, 15 minutes, and there's going to be a bunch of time to make sure we can get a lot of feedback in.
Okay, and what time does that start?
5:30.
5:30. So anybody that's got access to a computer, or if you don't have one, you can go to the library.
1 minute.
And, you know, sign on there, but you definitely want to have the participation. How long is the window for that meeting?
I think it's 5:30 to 7:30.
Okay, so a healthy chunk of time.
Absolutely.
And then what happens after this round of meetings?
So after the round of meetings, we consolidate all the comments, the concerns, the questions from the community, and we put out the information back out on our website so everybody can see it. We start restructuring the study based on the feedback we got from the community. Then we start looking at our implementation on the HDOT side to see how we can start addressing some of the public's concerns now.
Okay, and what are we going to call it? Like Heli High or something?
Maybe that should be part of the discussion as well.
Okay. Well, we would like to thank our guest, Tom Yamachika, president of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii, and State Highways Deputy Director Ed Sniffen. And we'd like to thank you, the listener, for joining us on today's show. And if your call didn't make it on the air during today's discussion, you can still contact the Talkback line and leave your comments. That number to call, 808-792-8217. You can also email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to today's show, check out the Conversation Podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of the conversation.